It is a Tech Tuesday, Bill, and you are going to be proud to know that you are ahead of the curve, and rarely does that happen in the tech world.
Ever happen.
Bridget Carey on the line with us, senior editor at CNET.com, and Bridget, all of a sudden, Bill looks really cool because he got rid of his Windows phone.
Yeah, good news, Bill. You're ahead of the game.
Wow, that has never happened once. So how did that happen? What took place?
Well, over the weekend, Microsoft pretty much admitted that the Windows Phone is dead. As if, like, I had friends tell me they didn't even know Windows Phone was still around. Hmm. But one of the executives in charge said that they will no longer make any software features for it or any more handsets. And there are some third-party companies that were making Windows phones like HP, and they last week announced they weren't going to make any more of their phone. It's just one of those things where Microsoft is trying to focus instead on making apps for Androids and iPhones that can connect to your Windows PC. But as far as an actual Windows-specific operating system on your phone, that's not their focus anymore.
Those days are done. So if somebody does still have it, and I think I may have been the last person to have still had it, but if somebody still does, will it still continue to operate or not at all?
Yeah, that's a good point. It'll still work, and Microsoft will still, this is a good thing, send out patches if there are any security bugs. So at least you know the phone system will still be secure if you want to hang on to it for a little while. For the most part, the biggest challenge they faced is that they just didn't have the apps. The executives on Twitter were saying they did so much. They were paying developers. They were trying to write the apps themselves, but companies in the end didn't see it as worth the investment when so few people had.
Yeah. All right,
Bridget, I'm going to ask this question because I am dying to know the answer, and I bet you are too. Bill, when you got rid of your Windows phone, what did you do with it? Did they take it back, or is it in a drawer somewhere?
No, it's in a drawer. They didn't. Why? Do they usually take them back?
No.
No, they didn't want to take it
back.
Well,
if you have a phone that's popular, you get paid for it.
Really?
Would give you any money for a Windows phone. Yeah.
No, I put it in a drawer, and as I'm saying it, I don't know why. There's never going to be a time where it comes back into vogue, so I should.
Oh, it totally will.
Really?
Oh my God,
all right.
Give it 10 years. You're going to have a collector.
Yeah? All right, I'll save it.
Well, you know, all of a sudden, cell phone collectors will want to display it in a museum
proudly.
Somewhere.
Sure. All right, I'll save it.
I was just in a conversation with someone about what a collector item is now is those AOL discs that
yes.
you got in the mail.
Oh.
That's actually a big collector.
That's so funny. We had talked about on this show Google sending giant balloons to Puerto Rico to deliver internet by air, part of their Project Loon, which is such a great idea. We had talked about this before. Speaking of Puerto Rico, Mark Zuckerberg is a bit in trouble. Explain this.
Oh, yeah. Count on a billionaire to be tone deaf and out of touch. What he did the other day was he broadcasted a live video showing off their virtual reality software called Facebook Spaces. And in Facebook Spaces, you appear as a cartoon character behind actual footage. And so they took some actual video footage of the hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico with flooded streets. And if you picture it in your head, here's flooded streets and a big cartoon version of Mark Zuckerberg and his colleague, who's also working on the social stuff, going, it's magical how you can actually feel like you're here. They use the word magical.
Hmm.
And then it's like we're in the same place. We can even high-five. And they're high-fiving cartoon versions of themselves next to, like, destroyed homes. And it feels like we're really here in Puerto Rico. So they just were completely tone deaf. He then went on to say how Facebook is donating to help relief efforts. And then awkwardly, he goes, where else can we go? And the person he was standing next to giggles and goes, maybe California. And like
all
like,
the wildfires going on there now.
Well, like, poof, they just kind of fly away to somewhere that's less depressing. And it just felt like, oh, my gosh.
Here's an idea.
You guys don't get it.
Make yourself pop in on top of Niagara Falls or on the Empire State Building or on the Statue of Liberty's tablet. Wouldn't that be a better way to promote this?
They flew to the moon in this demo afterwards, but it was a matter of feeling like people are really suffering. And did they just use this to kind of exploit their own thing? Facebook has a big virtual reality conference going on later today where they're going to talk about all the reasons why you should buy a big clunky headset for your face. And so that's kind of the reason for the timing of this. But yeah, when they sometimes have a little bit of trouble awkwardly talking about a serious issue while trying to also talk about how cool it is to magically feel that like you're there. You
know? So with a guy like him who is... he's a genius, right? And he gives so much money. He donates so much to causes around the globe. Was it just a lapse of good taste? What do you attribute this to?
It's a lapse of knowing how to talk right when you're, you know, and like yeah. he talked about how, you know, it's hard to get down there, and this is a way for storytelling to understand things more, and we're doing relief efforts with the Red Cross. Okay, so he starts talking about how Facebook's doing this, and Facebook's doing that to help them. And wow, it's like you're really standing there in front of the flooded street. Okay, it's good as a news tool, but maybe this was the wrong time
sure.
to talk about how great your service is for doing this while not having prepared a script and kind of giggling about how, okay, let's go fly off to California. Like, oh, how convenient for you to fly off.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. And he hasn't apologized as of yet, huh?
No, I mean, this really just comes down to, like, image.
Yeah.
And so people, on one hand, with the comments, this was a live broadcast, on the comments, they were like, oh, this is a great tool. And the other half of the comments were, I can't believe you're using this to promote a product.
Right.
So that it's not some, like, he's going to be speaking later today at his massive Oculus conference.
And his first words, I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Well, how many I'm sorry's is he going to do? It's I'm sorry about Russian ads. I'm sorry about politics.
Yeah.
It's sorry all the time. We just this is the problem with Silicon Valley companies. They just don't seem like they get it.
Let's end with good news. How about a robot pet dog? Can I have a robot pet dog?
Yay, robot dogs.
Our prayers have been answered, Bridget.
You don't have to walk them, Bill. It's pretty
right.
awesome.
Right.
Yeah, technology has some good uses, right? Okay, so Sony, back in the day, had this robot pet dog. It wasn't called Fido. It's like Aibo or Aibo, like A-I-B-O. And it went away because it wasn't popular. But now Sony's saying, we're going to make our robot dogs again in the sense that they could be your home assistants, much like how Amazon has these speakers with Alexa. Imagine you had, instead of a speaker, just a little roving robot dog be your virtual assistant friend. So it's like a more cute version of what everyone's trying to do now, which is have a home assistant of sorts.
And Bridget, as is always the case, whenever we talk about robots, there's a small chance that they could enslave us and take over the world, but nothing we need to focus on, correct?
At least this is a kickable size.
Right.
Like, this is something I can still kick around if it gets unruly, but I think it's a cute concept that, you know, normally a pet dog can go fetch you the newspaper. This one would just fetch you the headlines.
Nice.
You know?
Excellent.
Got to teach it to fetch me a margarita or something, or make one. Oh, that'd be good. And your Teddy Ruxpin thing is awesome. I checked it out, and if people are a fan of Teddy Ruxpin, how do they check out your fine work?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I did a little bit of the history of that crazy little bear. It's cnet.com/Teddy-Ruxpin.
Perfect. We'll find you at cnet.com. And until next week, thank you so much. She's Bridget Carey.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks.
Teddy Ruxpin, of course, being the second crazy little bear we've talked about on today's show. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got news and then a lot more coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.